Hey, hello, welcome back to the podcast. It is Caitlin. I'm your host of With a Side of Crime. I would like to profusely apologize for being an inconsistent piece of shit. And if you knew my bloodline, you would know that it's just in my DNA. So I do apologize for that. Things have been crazy. I'm in the process of working towards a raise and or new job. And I just need to find it in me to put the time into this podcast that this podcast deserves, because these stories do deserve to be told, no matter how short they are or any of that. So with that being said, if this is your first time listening, thank you for being here. If you're a returning listener, thank you. You're so appreciated. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me and listening to these stories, because as a Black woman, as a minority, these are very important to me that they are told. Life just gets in the way sometimes, and I want to apologize for that. And I do hope to start being more consistent. My mental health just be whooping my ass. So with that being said, I'd like to get into this week's story. It is the story of Asia Wilbon. Much like previous cases, there is not an excessive amount of information on the internet to be able to put into these stories to share with you guys. There's just a very limited amount. And maybe one day it will be something of a crime junkie type vibe where I can actually have a reporter or actually go out myself and talk to these people and really get firsthand accounts of what's happened and what is going on, if there's any active new information in the case. But for now, I have to stick with what the internet gives me, and sometimes it's just not a lot. But again, let's get into it. Asia Wilbon said goodnight to her father one night in early 2020. After that interaction, he never saw his daughter again. Asia's dad described her as a homebody and an introvert, not want to go out much, just find things to do at home. So this is one of the main reasons her parents were very surprised and concerned when they came home and saw that Asia wasn't there. They were very confused. That's like, if anybody who knows me, I be in a house on the weekends, at night, when there's stuff going on in the house. So naturally, when you're dealing with that kind of person, you're going to be shocked and surprised if you come home and they're suddenly not there. So on February 13th of 2020, this was what, a month before the pandemic, Asia's parents heard her walking around in the house around 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning, sometime in between there. And they assumed, oh, she's just getting up to go to the bathroom, something normal. They didn't notice that she was missing until later the next afternoon. But as soon as they noticed she was missing, the family immediately began to call and text. They're like, where is she? What's going on? All of their attempts at communication went unanswered. Now, she is underage. She is immediately reported as a missing person. Authorities tracked her phone, a smartphone, obviously, so they're able to track it. They found that her phone had last pinged in Federal Way, about 20 minutes away from where she lives. And this was on February 13th that this pinged. Police made a claim that there was allegedly a witness who saw Asia, that saw Asia near the Federal Way Transit Center. But there's no solid evidence to support this claim. I don't know if the witness ever corroborated this claim, or I don't know what the situation is with the witness, but there was never any more discussion about that. So despite this, there was another claim from February 15th, so 2 days after she was last seen, that reported seeing Asia in the same area, so around Federal Way, but when her family went there and looked for her, nothing came up. You know, they didn't see her. Nobody said anything about seeing her. She just wasn't there. So Asia's father believed that when she left the house, she wasn't in a really good headspace. Like most of us who go through mental health struggles, Her mental health was potentially suffering, and she just went for a walk. She had been depressed around this time after her mother, who lived in another state. She did not live with her mother. She lived with her dad. Her mom lived a different state. Her mother had actually passed away. Asia's personal belongings weren't missing. All her clothes were still in her room. The only thing that wasn't there was her phone and her keys. And this kind of gave everyone the assumption that she planned on coming back. Richard said that Asia really loved to be in her room. Sometimes she'd even agree to go out and do things as a family and then change her mind last minute just because she wanted to be at home. So since she very seldom wanted to leave the house and the thought of going out increased her social anxiety, they were like, yeah, this is definitely suspicious. Police are still hopeful that someone will come forward with some information about Asia. And there's speculation that she could be a runaway, but her father is like, no, there's no possible way that that is what's going on here. He believes that she didn't leave with the intention of never coming back. And then she is out somewhere and is in extreme danger. And just from what I know about listening to crime cases, typically, if they don't bring anything with them, no clothes, no money, no other personal belongings, I mean, you can put two and two together of what it kind of sounds like happened here. There were reports for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children that they contacted Richard with supposed sightings of Asia in South Carolina. But there haven't been any recent developments from this sighting, so her case does remain active and open. There are theories that maybe she wanted to get back to the East Coast, to the area that she lived before her mother passed away. Despite continuing to receive tips, the police found that very few of their tips were credible. And like many cases of Black women, POC women, Indigenous women, her case ended up going cold. In June of 2021, Washington State Police announced that Asia's case would be part of a project called Homeward Bound. If you don't know, the Homeward Bound Project is a partnership between Camway Transportation and the State Patrol. So basically what it is that 18-wheelers have missing posters plastered on the side of them. And since a lot of 18-wheelers are constantly driving back and forth across the country, they are basically moving billboards. Here's an excerpt that I took from the Homeward Bound website. Homeward Bound is a Washington State Patrol push to raise public awareness about missing children and bring light to their cases. We share a common goal of bringing renewed hope to their families. Homeward Bound began in 2005 with late Trooper Renee Padgett. Gordon Trucking unveiled the first trailer in 2006. Unfortunately, Gordon Trucking was bought out in 2013 and Trooper Padgett passed away in 2018 after over 6 years of battling with multiple myeloma, a rare cancer of the white blood cells. And unfortunately, these two things brought the program to a halt. So fast forward to January 2019, after our team member Lori Glavin sought out approval from her supervisors and contacted the WSP, we unveiled the first set of two trailers featuring missing person Tika Lewis. We have since unveiled four more trailers featuring missing persons, Misty Copsey and Alyssa McLemore. By the end of 2019, we will have a total of 11 trailers on the road featuring five missing persons. Asia is currently displayed on two different Camway trucks that travel back and forth from coast to coast. And other than the minimal information mentioned here and a few other places, there's not much to go off of when it comes to her case. And like I said, this is the situation with many missing Black and people of color. Oftentimes, when I am recording one of these, I'll include news clips that I found online in regards to the case, and I didn't even find those. So that's just how bleak it looks for Asia's case. You can't even find a news clip reporting on her disappearance. And it's unfortunate that this is the case for so many people and so many families. And that's why podcasts like these, you know, not just my podcast, but other podcasts that highlight the same type of victims are important. So if you don't like my podcast, then by all means, please find a similar one to support that cause. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Caitlin. If you haven't, please leave a rating and review so I can kind of get the word out, even though I am a consistent asshole and I'm very sorry about that. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. This has been With a Side of Crime.